The Truth Response.
Welcome to The Truth Response, guys. And today we're going to talk about a subject that is heavier than most. We're going to talk about death and what it looks like and what we know, what we can know about death, and explore some of the how to comfort and the comforting things and the not as comforting things. So
we've been dying to talk about this, by the way.
Wow. Right there. Okay. Okay. All right. So today we have the whole crew back.
You know, this could be a grave subject.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
You asked for this.
Except for, like, you know, all the wives but mine and Mark's, because she doesn't probably listen to it.
No.
So
she's like, I got to listen to this guy.
Y'all's
like
wives.
10 hours a day. I don't need to listen to him another hour.
They're going to say something to us.
They're cringing right
now. And they're like, we're going
to
hear it.
All right. Well, if you've made it to this point in the podcast now, then we're grateful for you. And we share the same spirit animal, whatever that might be. The spirit animal of irreverence. So. Yeah.
So, we have the whole crew back today, which is fun. We've got Grant.
Hello.
Got Mark.
What's up?
Got Nick.
Yo.
And we got Lizzie.
Yay.
And then myself, Derek.
Lizzie Vader.
Lizzie Vader. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And Nick's gonna pray. So,
all
pray.
Right. Yeah, I am.
We need a little bit of that.
A lot of bit.
Father, you're so good and grateful for this time we have to gather. Grateful for this time to talk about some things that you have laid heavy upon our hearts and inevitable parts of life that unfortunately aren't discussed enough. Lord, you reveal the truth of all of this in your word, and I pray that today can be a day where your spirit speaks in us and through us so that we can offer some good commentary on how death fits into life and how we ought to see it. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We lift high the holy and righteous name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, just a ground rule, no coffin.
Oh.
I am so sorry for everything that's happening right now.
And the funny thing is I'm laughing at my own joke.
I know.
The funny thing is you always laugh at your own jokes. Because they're funny.
He's the funniest guy you know.
You're telling them for you.
I am the funniest guy I know.
Yeah. Secret about dad jokes, it's not so secret, is that we tell them for us, not for you guys. Right. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, so death. I actually had a coworker just ask me, you know, this week, like, what exactly happens after death? You know, she was like, some people say, you know, you sleep, you know, you fall asleep and then you're essentially asleep until, you know, Jesus comes and takes us all. So others will say, you know, well, we immediately go to heaven or a place before we actually go to heaven, you know, whatever, some kind of holding place.
The first one's called soul sleep, right?
I mean, I guess that's what some people call it. Yeah, yeah.
It's just popular term that, okay, everybody kind of looked at me funny when I said that. Popular-ish term that might be out there. And you might see articles on soul sleep. And there are some churches that really subscribe to that as a doctrine that they hold fast to.
Yeah, yeah. So we went back and forth a little bit, just discussing a few things here and there. Like talking, because she brought up, like, well, you know, there's evidence that, you know, some scriptures talk about, you know, going to sleep or whatever. And then others, like Jesus with the man on the cross, said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I was like, well, I mean, just to play into the ambiguity a little bit of, you know, we don't fully know. It does say that a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. And, you know, when you fall asleep, how often do we feel like a lot of time has passed when we wake up?
Yeah. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, I think I've been asleep for 3 days and it was like 24 minutes. Yeah. Other times you fall asleep and you're like, feel like I just closed my eyes, and now it's been 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
But regardless of how long you felt like you've slept, like, you can't really grasp how much time has passed because you're in the now, mm-hmm. right? So if we were to fall asleep, I mean, they say that a dream only lasts like 3 seconds. And sometimes it feels like a lifetime while you're dreaming it. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a vivid dreamer like me, then yeah. I mean, so I offered that as a, I don't know, tour. And then said, this is going to be a great podcast someday.
And today's that day, even though this question just got posed to Derek probably this morning.
No, it was actually Monday.
Okay, Monday. See?
Yeah, just a couple of days.
So he had time to think about it. The rest of us, not so much.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I'm opening up the floor to y'all.
Concerning what? Was there a question in there somewhere?
Death.
Yeah. What happens after death? There's the question.
Well, I know what I've always been taught. Is that
what'd you been taught?
Absent from the body in the presence of Christ.
Yeah.
So I guess I've always been taught that, you know, once you die, your soul is. So I've been. Wait a minute. And now I'm kind of flipping through it.
Oh.
So I've heard it that your soul is like goes to heaven to be with in the presence of God. But that's not the end point. Hmm. I've heard it said that the end point is eternity in your resurrected body. Because mm-hmm. We're all going to get a resurrected body. Mm-hmm. That's the end point. Mm-hmm. During that time between death and the resurrection, it's like you're there, but you're not there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You're displaced, mm-hmm. I guess would be the best.
You're in the waiting room?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and I guess that's where the whole matter of purgatory would come from. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, almost like you're in a waiting room, but you're still in the presence of God and that kind of, you know, and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, though, it was always absent from the body in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, it's a great thought, right? That's the comforting thought that we want to hear. We want to hear, like, at the end of all of this, I'm immediately ushered into the moment I take my last breath. The next one that I get is in the heavenly plane, right? We want that to definitely be the case. And I'm not going to say it's not, because there is biblical evidence that's really how it works. I mean, there's a caveat to all of that, which is you're a follower of Jesus. I think that's the hard caveat to all of it is yeah. you've got to be given to him. You know, we've run into some peculiar things, like in our community, handful of weeks ago, months ago, young guy went out on a drug deal and he ended up getting shot and killed. And, family was looking for a place to host the memorial service. They had it here at the church. I didn't officiate. But you hear the family on the back end, like, oh, he's such a good boy, right? Oh, you know, we know where he's at, like, and all those kind of things. And I get, like, God knows the heart, and that is the most important piece of all of it. And sometimes our actions don't truly reveal where our heart is. But there's always all of that discussion around death. And it's provided for a lot of, I think, a lot of misunderstanding that we hold specifically in our culture, because we all want that hope and that thought and that understanding and that knowledge of, oh, he's in a better place or she's in a better place. But the Bible tells us that's not always the case. And I think that's the really hard truth that we've got to work to unpack is it's one thing to question the what is after death. It's another thing to question the how do we articulate and how do we toe the line of truth and comfort? Because sometimes there's two really big different things there.
I think in the culture that we live in, everybody wants to magically see the best in somebody that has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
When kind of a discussion prior to starting here, like, that's not always the case. Like, some people are pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, and, you know, especially when you get into a situation of, you know, okay, this will toe line of politics, but okay, police interactions where somebody ends up dying,
mm-hmm.
you know, based on race or all of these other factors, so quickly things get completely dispersed and skewed
mm-hmm.
so that it fits an agenda, mm-hmm. right? Whether it be a gun agenda or all of these other things. When the reality is, I think we miss the true inspection of someone's life
mm-hmm.
and how they actually lived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, were they a drug dealer? Mm-hmm. Were they, you know, a horrible father? Were they, you know, I mean, we all sin, but we can all agree that some people live pretty devious lives mm-hmm. compared to others. So, you know, I don't know that there's a whole lot of, from a Christian perspective, that's very difficult to give them comfort per mm-hmm. se. It's not like this, like, oh yeah, everything's going to be all right. Like they, well, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like you got to turn it self-centered, right?
A little bit.
To the other person.
Yeah.
You know, now you don't have to see him like this anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you don't, you know, mm-hmm. you have to almost turn it, instead of giving comfort about where the deceased is.
Yeah.
You almost have to turn it toward the person who's left behind and say, mm-hmm. no, you're not dealing with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's, you know, it's kind of a bad thing to have to do, but mm-hmm. what else do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to put, like, the way that I've seen it done is, like, trying to remember the good memories of that person.
Right.
And even if they don't have much of a legacy, like, what legacy they left with you, even if it wasn't necessarily, it came from something negative but turned into a positive, like breaking a cycle of alcoholism mm-hmm. or something like that. Like, you know, he might not have been the best father, but I learned how to break that cycle because I didn't want to be like him, mm-hmm. like, or whatever that is. Like, but most people, like, they don't say anything negative about somebody when they dies, and I was like,
oh, that's not always the truth.
I have not been to a funeral that's been like that. They've been focused on like the negative and stuff like that. I mean, I've heard the conversations after and before about that, but like at the funeral, it's also always focused about the good memories and the good things. And I have seen pastors struggle to find nice things to say mm-hmm. about the person and stuff like that, or good things to say, or positive things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems super easy. Like, the two funerals, like the one today,
yeah,
and the one that I was at a couple of weeks ago, when there's zero doubt that the person was a believer, passed away, and mm-hmm. and everybody finds peace and rest in the fact that they got to go home, you know, mm-hmm. even if it was like hard and sudden, like it's a
celebration.
It's a celebration, yeah. Right? And then the when the opposite happens, it's super tragic. And I immediately think of the parable when Jesus is talking about the one of the rich guys dies,
Lazarus.
Lazarus,
yeah.
Right? And he's like, whatever you do, just like tell them, you know, mm-hmm. like just if I could just go back and tell them mm-hmm. to avoid what I'm going through, like that's like his desire,
mm-hmm.
right? When he dies and goes to hell,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like that's his desire, mm-hmm. is that everybody could just know,
mm-hmm.
you know, the actual truth. And so that's not a super popular way to comfort someone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that's a tough position. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes the truth is hard.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Nick. Have you ever been in, as a pastor, have you ever been in a position where you were like, I'm not doing this funeral because it's just, I don't know what to do with it?
Not where it was like, you absolutely have to do this. I would say, like, when that family, you know, a few months ago approached the church and just said, hey, you know, and one of my questions, like, I was buried in a bunch of other things to do. No pun intended. but. Okay. but I was like, number one, like, I've got so many other things on my plate, and I know priorities and helping the community and so on. Their primary ask was, hey, we just need a place to do this. And then I, you know, I had to ask, you have somebody to officiate this? And they said, well, I think so, but can you do it? And I was like, I really can't. Like, when they came, it was like a 3-day turnaround kind of thing, which unfortunately most of the time that's what it is. It's like, yeah. This happens today, bam, we got to figure this thing out tomorrow. And I get it. None of us plan, none of us think, none of us desire to even put ourselves in that position to have to do that. And I know my inconvenience doesn't even come close to comparing to their hurt, and sometimes their inconvenience too. But sometimes it's just, I know I'm not going to be in the right place to be able to do a service to the family in that time. So in that instance, like, kind of. I've been in situations, especially when I was at the church in Central Florida, where the church was so big and there were so many people there, and it was a prominent church in the community, that there were a lot of people that quote unquote belonged to that church, but you never knew who they were. And I was put in a situation to do a couple funerals. Both of them were kind of hard. One was a woman in her late 30s that went in for some neck or back surgery and had a brain aneurysm and died. Like, not expected at all. Like, major tragedy, some young kids, husband. Another one was a guy in his mid-50s, massive heart attack, died. Like, both people I didn't know. And you do your best to try to sit down and get to know the families a little bit. And what do you get? You get all of the, well, this is the kind of husband they were, this kind of father they were, this kind of wife she was, this kind of mother she was. Like, you get all the really good things, which are great, but sometimes it makes it hard to really be able to articulate appropriately how, you know, from an officiant standpoint, to kind of sum up their lives. And so one philosophy I've taken is, all right, my job in all of this is, one, it's to preach the gospel. That's it. It's your job as the family to remember, because I don't know who they are. And I remember one of them, was the 50-year-old male. And I don't know if they were directing it toward me, but I remember walking out in the lobby as the casket was making its way out, and I heard this comment, something about, man, that was so impersonal. And I didn't know if they were directing it towards me as the officiant. I didn't know if it was just the way some of the things went down or whatnot, but I took it to heart and heard, like, oh, Nick as the officiant here didn't really speak to the life of this individual. And it caused me to reflect a lot on, all right, what is my role when it comes to officiating a funeral? And I came to that conclusion. My role, first and foremost, above and beyond all things, and in fact, my sole role, is to preach the gospel. So when I don't know who they are, I'm gonna preach the gospel. When I do know who they are, I can share some stories and preach the gospel, right? So so that's the approach that I've taken. And like the funeral we just had for the charter pastor of our church here, who, I mean, man, lived a tremendous life and leaves a tremendous legacy. I mean, his size 9.5s, I'll never fill them, right? Like, he just, his footprints are all over our community. And we literally are standing on his shoulders as a church because of his faithfulness to come to plant this church, and to not just, like, he built the community too. So I didn't have to stretch for some things, because you can look around and see his fingerprints on so much stuff. And then there were so many other people who shared such great intimate stories and experiences that they had with him too. It was like, if I had to do, if I could all, man, I wish this was the only kind of funeral I ever had to do, right? Where you got a guy that lived a good life. Okay, he had some health issues at the end of it, that, but it didn't change his legacy, because he ran the race. He fought the fight. He kept the faith. He was the kind of guy we all desire to be. And so I selfishly wish all of them could be this way, but I know that's not going to be the case. Like right now I've had one that's been that way. Right. And a couple others where it's like, oh, I know they were really faithful people, but I didn't really know who they are. So I know that there are a lot harder ones on the way, a lot more harder ones on the way than there are going to be. Like, these are the diamond and the rough ones where you can see this. And so in the midst of all that, nonetheless, we still have to encounter death, what it is, why it is, and then how we respond to it.
Well, the hard thing with death is, like, we don't know.
Sure.
Not from experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, to be honest, like, we can't really grasp what death is. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say you've seen it, okay, you know, we can read about it, but as far as, like, knowing what it is, I mean, it's not like taking a drink of water. We know what taking a drink of water is like, right? But, like, death, even people who have literally died and come back, can't really say you really know what death is like. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more to that than not, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's something that our minds just can't really grasp very well. We can't even grasp our existence, like, mm-hmm. the length of time that we are a blip in even the timeline of, like, the United States. If you just take that couple hundred years and think about your place in it, it's like really hard to just grasp the concept of time. Mm-hmm. So death, that's even a step further, because we're experiencing time passing, mm-hmm. but we can't really experience death until we die.
Right. Yeah.
So we've looked at a couple of different things. So Mark, you shared, like, personally what you think or what you've been taught about death. Mm-hmm. Nick, you come at it from a totally different perspective of actually officiating funerals, mm-hmm. which is, you know, in and of itself a massive conversation. So how do we feel? Mm-hmm. Like, what is our perspective? You know, I think as Christians, at least for me, maybe ignorance is bliss. I don't really care about the details after I die, as long as I know where I'm going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to debate what the gates...
It doesn't matter how I get there.
Yeah.
I'm just getting there.
I might think
there.
About the Golden Gates a little bit. That'd be pretty cool to build. But, like, other than that, like...
it's like, I can weld that.
I can weld that, right? But otherwise, like, I'm just hopeful, and mm-hmm. I have faith that, hey, this is going to be a better place than what it is now. Mm-hmm. My back might hurt a little bit less and whatever mm-hmm. else and whatever. Like, you know, we get new bodies. But... Mm-hmm. I don't focus on those details so much as, okay, how do we live in peace here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, any one of us really, really thinks about it deep. You won't even want to go to sleep it tonight, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. I mean, I think it's, and I mean, some people operate under extreme anxiety and stress to the point where they, you know, half lose their minds in the concept of mm-hmm. just death itself.
Yeah.
But it's something that all of us are going to face.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
That, I think that's the thing that makes it weird. It's like, it is inevitable.
Everybody does it.
Everybody is encountering it, right? They say death and taxes are the two things you can't run away right. from. But, and sometimes you can run away from taxes. You just end up in jail. So, but you can't run away from death.
No.
You know, I kind of view that similarly to what you just said, but I view Revelation and death kind of similarly. And to put it in a quote from my favorite TV series, Firefly, you know, like, the destination, as important as it is, right, is nothing in comparison to the getting there, right? Getting mm-hmm. there is the worthier part. Mm-hmm. and it really is the truth if you think about even it within Christianity, right? Like, how you lived determines where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So the getting there is the worthier part, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of my perspective on it too, is like, I don't care how it ends with Revelation and all that stuff. I don't care to dig into any of that. Like, I'd rather know what Jesus wants me to be doing right now and experience that life to an abundance that he came for right now.
Yeah.
Right. And living for him now is the worthier part, right? Is the important thing. Because if we're living for him now, we have nothing to worry about. You know, I mean, we know he wins in the end.
Yep.
So there's nothing to worry about.
Yep.
Even if we cease to exist, there's still nothing to worry about.
Yep.
So the living for him now and with him now is the worthier part. I don't know. That's a tough sell to somebody who doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you go the route of, well, what if you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if
that's
what
a
if
big,
you live your whole life?
That's a big point of argument. Is the thing is, if I'm wrong, nothing changes.
Right.
But if I'm right, I gain everything. Right. If you're wrong, you lose it all. Right. Like,
right.
So it's honestly, that argument was one of the things that inspired faith in me. Mm-hmm. Our preacher shared that from the pulpit one Sunday afternoon, and I was like, I would rather play the odds, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like you can't stop there, though. Because,
no, you can't.
You can't live there, yeah.
Well, but no, but I mean, like, you can't stop there when you're talking to somebody about it because of the fact that, like, that's all fine and dandy, but I lost my train of thought.
While you're putting your train back on the tracks,
right?
So today, one of the fellas that shared this is not even a new approach, but he talked about how, you know, everybody's life is summed up by the day they're born and the day they die, right? That's what is on every tombstone or memorial or whatever you have, and he's like, but then in the middle is that dash. He's like, that's what life is. That is really more important than either of those other 2 days. I mean, if you're a believer, I would say the second day is probably the most important event of your life. But he talked about, like, living the dash. And I've heard some sermons and read some commentary on that concept before. And I think, you know, you're right. You were walking down that trail before about how we need to live to the fullest. We need to really embrace the opportunities that we have to make the most of the life that we've been given. Because oddly enough, there are very, very, very few of us that know when that second date's going to happen. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, I was just, the thing that I was going to say earlier was that when, I don't know. The thing that I was going to say earlier was that, dang you, the two of you.
It's Mark and Nick.
Liar.
Dang it. Well, Mark, you get to cut a lot of this out.
Oh, man. It's
no, leave this in there. This is good.
Look, I already look stupid most of the time.
They can't see you, so but they need to hear
you.
That's
why I said I don't need to sound it, too.
Yeah.
So, for me, like, just dealing with the hope, like whether, like, if somebody has hope or not, like, that's like the core of your Christian faith. Like, if you are a Christian, you have the hope in what is to come and stuff. And if you're not, then that's the end. Death is the end. Like, it's over, done. And how, I don't understand. It's hard for me to comprehend because, you know, my faith and hope is in God and in Jesus. And I don't have to worry about that. Like, that's not the end. And I know that's not the end, but for those who don't believe, like, no wonder there is so much, like, mourning and so much, like just uncontrollable pain and, you know, it affecting their mental health and all of these things. And it's like, because there's no hope. like, is what it comes down to. And it's like, how do you get over something like that if there is no hope?
Mm-hmm. That was something that struck me about Larry's funeral today, was that, yeah, there was crying, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. people were mourning, mm-hmm. but you didn't have that overabundance of wailing, and yeah. you know, because there was hope there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't really even hope. There was like almost a confidence that permeated through the room mm-hmm. that, you know, Larry's good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's not here with us, but dude, he's totally good right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And you could almost, it was almost like you could touch it, mm-hmm. of confidence. It was really, really, really cool to be here. I'm glad I did.
Well, it's great to hear that from a participant's perspective.
And that doesn't honestly happen at a lot of funerals. No. Like, my grandfather's was like that, because they talked about his legacy and stuff like that, and the legacy he left behind of his faith. And, like, I've been to plenty of Christian funerals, and there's not always even that in a lot of them. Mm. Like, that just so, like, nobody's questioning where Larry is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think somebody's faith, like, knowing that they're a Christian and believing that they're going to heaven, that's one thing. But you look at somebody like Larry, I mean, I never even knew him out of his wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He was trying to run over the doors and other people and everything else. You know, like,
can we hold up here for just a second?
Absolutely. Cool.
I just want to give the listeners some perspective. Larry, it was one of the, I don't know if you covered this already.
I called the charter pastor.
The charter pastor. Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, absolutely. So I don't even know him, but he had a smile. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how him and his wife even got here to church some Sundays, but he was here as long as he possibly could be. Mm-hmm. And just that dedication alone impacted me mm-hmm. and was inspiring for me. So you look at, okay, a Christian that doesn't do anything but kind of put their head in the sand and mm-hmm. there's no impact. Compared to that, to a Christian who has huge impact, huge mm-hmm. purpose, huge drive, and doesn't just stay idle, but really presses the mission forward mm-hmm. and really pushes his faith outward mm-hmm. instead of just keeping it in. Mm-hmm. It completely different. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So earlier we were talking about the you can't leave it there with mm-hmm. the, you know, if I'm right,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
gain everything. If you're wrong, you lose it all. Because to the person who you're making that argument to, they a lot of times see people who claim to be Christians mm. and say, I don't want to be like that.
Right.
That does not make my life better.
Right.
Right. So we've got to let them know that I'm not asking you to be like other Christians.
Right.
Right. Dig into the Bible.
Yeah.
Be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like other Christians. Be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Because being like Jesus, it makes your life better.
Yep.
Being like other Christians doesn't always do that. A lot of times it doesn't.
Right.
But being like Jesus makes your life better. So that's what I was trying to say earlier. Yep.
No, absolutely. Yep. But purpose.
Right. Yep.
Like how many non-Christians go through life and completely miss it? I mean, mm-hmm. we have a purpose here. If you get up on a daily basis and don't have a purpose and don't have a higher reason of why you're getting up, and if you're not on a mission, then you miss it. Like mm-hmm. we miss all of it. I mean, we're not here to work and socialize and do all, like, we are through those things we can spread the word, mm-hmm. but just like you said with the funerals, like, the gospel comes first.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do that, then it will permeate every other portion of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, and that is it. One other thing that is important to understand in the midst of death, too, and you talked about how there is mourning and grief that was assigned, you know, to Larry and to this funeral we just had. And it's sometimes that's one of those, it feels like it can be a stumbling block for some people. Like, I'm really confident that this person is, they've received a reward, right? They're with the Lord. But why do I feel such a burden? Why do I feel so much grief and sorrow? And why am I mourning the way I am? And that is okay. I that's something that I know people don't need permission to mourn and grieve, but sometimes mm-hmm. they need to hear that it's okay.
Yeah.
And it is. It's okay to feel grief. It's okay to feel sorrow. It's not okay to live there, but it's okay to experience it and to walk through it. Because what you typically find in the midst of that is you find another gear. You find a greater strength that's building up inside of you. And that grief and that sorrow comes from the impact that that person had in your life. And so you can be as confident as you want to. You can be as confident as I am that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning and that it's going to be ungodly hot in Southwest Florida, right? Like, I am that confident, right? But on the back end of that, it's okay to feel loss and grief and sorrow and to mourn. The Bible tells us that, right? We are to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And even when you encounter some of the interactions that happen, like I think about the other Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the dead, there were the whole community. Well, there were people in the community that were mourners. They would come and grieve with the family for 30 days, roughly, and they would kind of weep and cry with them and sit with them and be with them and semi-comfort them. And then when that time of mourning was up, they would move on, right? So I don't know if you can kind of set a timetable to it, like, okay, 30 days from now, you better be better, right? You better be over this thing, right? But even the Bible reveals to us that that's okay. Jesus wept, right? The two most profound words maybe in all of Scripture, Jesus wept. Like the Bible memory verse that we all sit down and memorize when we are told to memorize the Bible because we can remember that one. So even that is meant to speak of a sorrowful soul. And Jesus knew in like the next 15 minutes, Lazarus ain't gonna be dead anymore, right? Crazy. So that emotion that's tied to loss, to death, is normal. It's healthy. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you don't feel it, it might not be healthy. Right.
Yeah.
So.
And most of the root of all of that, like, not in a bad, I'm not saying this in a bad way, is selfish.
Sure.
Is like, I'm not gonna see them anymore, or it's empathy for like, he doesn't get to see this, you know, right. parts of his family or, you know, what they grow up and do and stuff like that, or be there for any of that things.
Right. It's for you.
Yeah. It's for you. Mm-hmm. It's not for somebody else. It's not.
It's definitely not for the person who's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing you can do for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's for you. And I'm not saying that selfish might be the wrong word, but like it's about you and like that hole that you have that they filled and then now they're gone and like that's not there anymore.
We also look at, you know, okay, in Larry's case, you know, he was able to live a full life.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to see his children, his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Christians, we're going to encounter people that pass before you know, before we think their time is,
right.
you know, like,
right.
like you said,
teenagers,
you know,
it'll happen. Kids, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Right. Young father. We had, I'll never forget this one. Okay. Yeah. You've got a great example with Carl. Like,
yeah.
Same thing. The same day that I found out I was losing my job when I knew I was called into ministry, that same day there was a young guy, probably a year or two older than I was, probably 32, truck driver fell asleep, rolled the truck, slid across the median, mashed the guy, killed him. And he left behind a wife and four kids, something like that. And it put into perspective so much. Like, I lost my job. He lost his life. His family lost a husband, lost a father, lost a son, lost a brother. Like, I just lost a job. So it was one of those like, it's that softened the blow for me, but it was a tragedy in its own right. And it was a freak thing. Like, if he was 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, it'd have been all right. But he was right on time. And the crazy thing is same thing. Like, invested in the church, loved Jesus, you knew where he was going. But it didn't make it sit easy for a lot of people. So you're right. I mean, that is one of the hard parts of navigating the grace of the Bible, the grace of God, is how do we run into these situations where it doesn't seem right and it doesn't seem fair that it happened this way. And from our perspective, it's like, I don't know, what would we think? Anything under 70 years is too soon? I don't know, anything under 60 years is too soon? Like, I don't even know what the cutoff is, but there's sometimes you read that obituary and you're like, wow, that person went young. Usually I think it's from our own perspective, like, oh, that's my mom and dad's age, or, oh my gosh, that's how old I am, or that's as old as my child. Like, that's when you think, oh my gosh, this is too young for this to happen. Yeah. But God's like, number one, you can't love them more than I do. And now they've got eternity with me. So he sees the bigger, broader picture of things that we can't. And sometimes all we see is the brokenness in front of us. And God sees the masterpiece of all of the broken pieces and that he's put together, which is far more than what could have been otherwise. So it's a challenge. I was talking with Brooke today when we were driving back from the graveside service, and I said to her, I was like, you know what? It's like, when I go, I want y'all to have a big party. Like, I was like, I don't want anybody saying nice things about me, because nobody will. But what Amen. I want,
so yeah. I'm gonna be there.
So, yeah. So Lizzie's officiating. Oh, gosh, I was like,
no, thank you.
I want you to have a big party. I want you to bring my urn in, put it at a place at one of the tables, and I want you guys to eat barbecue and have tacos. Like, and I like,
can we set you off in a firework?
That would be cool. Brooke was like, oh, they do this thing where they take your ashes and they tattoo you with the ashes. And I was like, well, that's kind of creepy. Oh, but
no, thank you.
I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. She's like, I would do that. I was like, all right, you're kind of creepy.
But she's wrapped up on that tattoo thing.
She really is. Yeah. That kid's going to get inked for sure. And I think it's only going to take her one time to be like, I am never doing that again.
Or.
Now, she doesn't like pain. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not going to find any type of anything comforting coming from that. So, yeah, so all of that. And then she's like, I don't want to talk about this. I was like, all right, I get it. So we run into that.
Yeah.
I can remember myself and also my son going through a stage in like mid-teens where it was the thought of death was a hard concept, and it got very emotional. Mm-hmm. It was emotional for me when I was young, and it was emotional for him too. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why she probably cut that subject off and was just like, you know what, I'm not dealing with this right now.
Yep.
Because at that age, you know, who's thinking about that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you're running and gunning, you know.
I mean, so. It's hard for us as a like older adult or becoming older adults, whatever, to think about death. I mean, I can't imagine thinking about death as a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I can remember
even surrounded with it. Like, I can't imagine thinking.
Yeah.
About it.
I don't know. It's at you know, 54. What I'm noticing though. Okay.
Yes, you are 54.
I am 54. I'm noticing.
It's just China.
Yeah. I'm noticed. Even at 54 now, I'm seeing like, celebrities and stuff that I grew up with that are now dying off and that kind of thing. And that's kind of bringing things into perspective a little bit. Like, oh, okay, you know, maybe I've got 15, 17 years of work left, and then maybe I'll retire, maybe I won't. Mm. And then really, what's the average lifespan now? About 78?
Is it that far?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. 72, I think, was actually the number that comes to mind. But, you know, okay, so that's less than 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Oops. And not too long ago, the thing I was really struggling with was my legacy. Now, mm-hmm. you know, Larry is leaving a legacy that nobody can match, and I'm mm-hmm. sure he's like the outlier of mm-hmm. all this.
Sure.
But what kind of legacy am I going to leave? Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, God bless my wife. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, first of all, she's married to me, which is...
Right.
you know, she gets just, sainthood just
she,
for that.
She does. She yeah. does. Yeah. But she kind of put it in perspective as to, you know, you do good things in your church, and mm-hmm. but your legacy is how, you know, outside of just being, you know, outside of the church is, you know, look at your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and how well your kids are doing. There's your legacy. So yeah. knock it off.
Yeah. Well, and it like at the funeral today, we're talking about like you don't know who and what you've influenced. Like mm-hmm. on, I feel like that's kind of like the like when we get to heaven, maybe you'll get to see that. Like mm-hmm. you don't know, like the five people or whatever, how many ever people you affected and how they affected everybody else. And it keeps going down and down and down and further and further and further. Like, you don't know what kind of impact you've had.
That'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Like, and there's people that struggle with.
Highlight reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's people that struggle with, like, that they need to know who they've helped and who they impact. And I was like, I don't want to know. Like, I don't need to know that. Like, I, like, cool. Like, if I did, then that's because of God and not because of me. It's God working through well, me. But, like, I don't need to know that here and now.
You
like,
can think about a Bible story. It's a little simple one than the person's not even named, the kid with the fish and the loaves.
Yeah.
I mean, he's impacting people today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So one thing for me, though, I think is not the thought of being dead, is the actual process of dying. Mm. You know,
that's part of this side. Yeah.
yeah. You know, I think that's the, for me, that's the scariest part, mm-hmm. right? It's like, okay, so how is this process going to work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does it look like? You know, and there's no real information in the Bible that I know of. Maybe you. Scholarly mm. people have some other insight, but that's the scary part for me is like, you know, is there actually a sting of death? I've heard that there is apparently a sting of death. I mean, I know the Bible talks about it.
Says death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Right, but are they talking that as a literal sting, or is that is that
probably,
is
metaphoric? Probably some sort of like magical mosquito that comes.
And well, so I've heard.
What?
I've heard a magical mosquito
just sucks your soul right out.
So I've heard that the this there's
how
like
things go downhill.
Yeah,
I've heard reverence.
I've heard there's like a
it's
a
decomposing as we speak.
Ooh.
Oh,
everybody else can do it, but I can't.
That's wrong.
It's true.
I haven't yet, so. Mm.
There's actually a string of life that is broken, which is where the sting of death comes from. Mm. How truth is that? I don't know. But that's, for me, that's the scary thing. Mm. It's like, I...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I meant de-evolving, but I caught myself halfway through and just decomposed. Went with it.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know about everybody else here, but, like, I've seen, like, the people that, like, they're gone like that. Like, they're gone fast. It's like a, like, they didn't lose their faculties, they didn't lose any of that, mm-hmm. they just their body just gave up like that, and mm-hmm. I've seen people that have gone through prolonged stuff and like that and are out of their mind, don't know what's going on, say some things, do some things like that they wouldn't have ever done as a person, mm-hmm. like, or
I don't want to be a burden,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, I don't want to be that person that lingers and is just a complete burden to the rest of my family. You know?
I want to be an old man, just old enough to where you can speak your mind and people just look at you like, oh, he's a crazy old man. Like, I mean, I would love to make it at least that far. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to be joyful, but, you know, it'd be kind of cool.
Here, pull my finger.
But I think that is more, but like, that is more a worry than like, because my grandfather said like, before he passed, he was like, I don't want to. And he was talking to his brother on the phone like 3 hours before he died about stuff from their childhood and how this lady from their neighborhood started a Bible study, and that's how my family became Christians. Wow. My grandfather's brother was talking about, okay, like, this is the Bible, and they both still had their Bibles that this lady gave them when they were from elementary school, and they were talking about what scripture they had to memorize to whatever. And my grandfather was talking to his brother, and he was like, no, that's not the right scripture. It's this one. My grandfather's dying. and he's correcting his brother. Like, he never lost any of that. Like, the ability to talk and stuff like that. Or the ability to just, like, you know, like, his memories were good. All that stuff was good. Mm-hmm. And I think that suffering and that, like, that almost makes it harder.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because, like, nobody wants to see somebody go through that or wants to go through that. Like, and sometimes that process, I've seen people go through, like, 6, 7, 8 months of that process. And, that's just emotionally draining for everyone around them and stuff like that. Nobody wants that to happen, but you also don't want them to go either. Mm-hmm. Like,
I want to share a text, and I actually read this at the graveside today, and I think it offers some points of discussion, and I know we're running near end of today, but maybe it can give us some final thoughts. But it comes from 1 Corinthians 15. If you have a Bible that has kind of like the subtext, it talks about it. The subtext is the resurrection body. And it says, but some will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. I'm going to skip down to 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of the dust. The second is from the heaven. As it was the man of dust, so we are. So also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And then he goes on to offer the final bold proclamation. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Then the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality. Thus shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Sting of death is sin. Power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I know there's a lot of, like, it's almost too much to listen to, because there's so much of, like, perishable, imperishable, immortal, mortality, like all of this kind of bouncing back and forth. But what I envision in that is kind of that first moment that he talks about. You don't put a seed in the ground and expect another seed to come up. You put a seed in the ground and you expect a plant to come up. And so what happens is that seed in its state, it dies in order to bring new life. So it's planted, it's buried, mm-hmm. and then it's raised to life, something brand new. And I think it's such a huge commentary on maybe the hope we should have as Christians for death. Again, it's not meant to make it easier, but I think it also provides some commentary for the fact of wrapping this whole thing up, that we aren't just skin bags, right? Like, we are spiritual beings that are inheriting, that have been given
a temporary body as our dwelling in order to put us in that place where we will grow fully into the spiritual, the fullness of the spiritual being in which we're given to represent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if that's something that that helps us along the way in order to make it better, easier. Fella today that was talking, he was talking about the caterpillar and the butterfly. Like, the caterpillar died and God called it a butterfly. Like, it was incredible. Like, the thing that has to happen in order for this new, more incredible thing to come. You have to die. And I think there's, well, I know there are some caveats to that. Like, number one is what Jesus tells us, we have to die to self so that new can come. And then our physical bodies have to die so that new can come. Yeah. So it's this whole process that we have to go through of becoming what we were really meant to be in the first place.
So in wrapping it up, as far as like what it looks like after we die, it we don't know. That's the straight of it, right? Like, we don't know.
It's got to be too awesome for us to comprehend. Right?
Do we fall asleep until Jesus comes? Don't know. Are we immediately there with him in the same time inside of time space that we dwell in now? We don't know. We have no idea.
It'll feel like that to us, though.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But so as far as, like, answering that question, the answer is we don't really know. And time will tell, right? When one day we will all be there. But the most important thing is to realize that how we live today is going to determine how we live today will determine where we are in the transition from life to death. And death is not the end, and that's something we can be assured of. So how do we talk to those about death when we know that the person isn't going to heaven or we're heavily unsure? We talk to them with love and compassion.
Yeah.
We just listen. Love on them and listen and share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here for anybody who needs to talk. If you're going through a struggle, thetruthresponse@gmail.com. You can email us. We'll take the time to talk with you, to listen to you. If you've got stuff you need to go through with people, we encourage you to do that. So we love you. We thanks for listening, and God bless.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and give us a like on iTunes and Spotify so that you will never miss a show. And while you're at it, check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and make sure you tell your friends about this show. You don't want them to miss out on the truth, because we are all about the truth here. Thanks for joining us this week, and God bless.